capture podcast conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to unpack complex ideas quickly and thoroughly for you.
And today, wow, we are diving into something quite specific but hugely significant. It's a single-coded message.
Just one message.
Right, just one. But it didn't just nudge history. It arguably reshaped the entire 20th century. We're talking about Barbara Tuchman's amazing historical thriller, The Zimmerman Telegram.
It really is an incredible story. I mean, think about it. A diplomatic blunder, just one mistake, so big it completely shattered America's commitment to staying out of the Great War.
And Tuchman's argument, it's powerful. She basically says this single act of, well, espionage, really.
Absolutely.
Espionage was the final push, the absolute catalyst that threw a very reluctant, very isolationist United States right into the fire of World War I.
Yeah, just a fantastic case study. You see strategic failure, intelligence genius, and the sheer power of public opinion all colliding.
And we're going to explore how, in just a matter of weeks, America flipped from determined neutrality to a full-throated call for war.
How did one piece of paper do that? We'll find out how it was dreamt up, how it was intercepted, and crucially, how it was used as a weapon.
But first, maybe we should talk a bit about the author, Barbara Tuchman. She's the one who makes this potentially dry history just leap off the page.
Absolutely. Barbara W. Tuchman lived 1912 to 1989, and she had this incredible knack for turning these dense, complex historical events into really gripping, character-focused stories.
What's interesting, too, is her background, right? She wasn't a typical academic historian.
No, not at all. Self-taught, actually. Uh-huh. But she gained immense respect through just incredibly meticulous research and, frankly, brilliant writing.
She won the Pulitzer Prize for nonfiction twice. That's serious credibility.
It really is. First, for The Guns of August, which is all about the start of World War I, so she knew this period inside out.
Right, that context is tea.
And then later for Stillwell and the American Experience in China.
So that deep dive into WWI's beginnings clearly gave her a unique lens for understanding the Zimmerman telegram incident. What really set her perspective apart, though?
Well, she really pushed back against the idea of history being just, you know, inevitable forces grinding along.
Determinism.
Yeah, exactly. She believed very strongly that history is shaped by people, by their choices, their mistakes, their foolishness sometimes.
Human folly, as she put it.
Precisely. Which makes Zimmerman Telegram the perfect subject for, doesn't it? It's this story of a massive strategic mistake driven by pure arrogance and bad assumptions. She dissects it like a scholar, but tells it like a novelist.
Okay, so let's get into the book itself. Tuchman frames it almost like a thriller, right? Reconstructing this huge intelligence win.
Totally. It reads like one. And the core idea is almost hard to believe even now. This telegram laid out a secret German plan to get Mexico to join them in a war against the United States.
And the payoff for Mexico?
Germany promised them they could win back territory they had lost decades before. Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona, just casually offering up huge chunks of the U.S.
Wow. Okay. So the book sort of tracks the life cycle of this message.
Yeah, Tuchman takes you through the whole chain step by step. First, the conception. You're in the German Foreign Office. They're desperate, feeling strangled by the war.
Right, late 1916, early 1917.
And the Foreign Secretary, Arthur Zimmerman, cooks up this wild scheme, mainly just to distract the Americans, keep them busy.
Okay, so that's step one. Then.
And the scene shifts dramatically. Okay. We're suddenly inside Room 40, this super secret British code-breaking unit.
Yeah.
The interception phase.
The spies and code-breakers.
Exactly. And they don't just get the message. The real drama is figuring out what to do with it.
Which leads to the next phase, the weaponization.
You got it. How do the British reveal this bombshell to the Americans without letting Germany know they're reading their most secret codes? It's this high-stakes diplomatic game.
And then finally, the impact. How it lands in Washington, how Wilson reacts, how the American public reacts, explosively, as it turns out.
Right. Tuchman's whole point is showing how these different threads, German arrogance, British cleverness, and America's mindset at the time, all get tangled together by this one single message, and it changes everything.
Okay, let's dive deeper into that German gamble first, setting the scene. Late 1916, early 17, Germany's stuck.
Deeply stuck. The war is a bloody stalemate. The British blockade is really hurting them economically and, morale-wise.
So the military leadership basically forces the civilian government's hand?
Pretty much. They convince them that the only way to win is to restart unrestricted submarine warfare, sinking any ship heading to Britain, neutral or not.
Even though they knew that would likely bring the U.S. into the war.
They knew. It was a massive gamble. They were betting they could starve Britain into submission before America could really mobilize and make a difference. A race against time.
Talk about high stakes. So where does Zimmerman's specific plan fit into this all-in strategy?
Well, Zimmerman, the foreign secretary, comes up with this Mexico proposal as a sort of sideshow, a diversion.
Keep America busy on its own border.
That was the idea. He probably saw it as very clever, real politic, you know, a cold, calculated move.
Yeah.
The problem was, Tuchman argues, it was completely detached from reality.
Who's so?
He totally misjudged Mexico. Did they even want to fight the U.S.? Did they have the ability to? He didn't seem to really factor that in. It was pure arrogance, assuming he could just manipulate them.
And then comes the part that Tuchman flags as just supreme irony. How did they actually send this incredibly sensitive message?
This is almost comical, if it weren't so serious. Because the British had cut Germany's direct transatlantic cables early in the war. The Germans had limited options. So they ended up sending their secret plot against America, using official American diplomatic channels.
Wait, what? You mean through the U.S. Embassy?
Yes. Relayed via the U.S. Embassy in Berlin, then across the Atlantic using U.S. State Department wires. They basically asked the Americans to deliver the message detailing how Germany planned to betray them.
That is mind-boggling carelessness. It speaks volumes about that hubris Tuchman keeps mentioning.
It really does. Entrusting your most explosive secret to the very country you're plotting against, you couldn't make it up.
Okay, so while the Germans are making this colossal blunder, Tuchman shifts our focus across the North Sea to the British side, Room 40.
Right, the secret heart of British naval intelligence. Run by Admiral William Hall, who Tuchman paints as this really shrewd, patient, maybe even ruthless operator.
And they were already listening in.
Oh, yeah. They were systematically intercepting and trying to decrypt German-coded messages. So when the Zimmerman telegram comes through in January 1917, they pick it up almost immediately.
But getting the message is one thing, reading it is another, right? Especially their top diplomatic code.
Absolutely. Tuchman gives you a real sense of the painstaking work involved. It wasn't easy. Code 0075 was tough. You have these brilliant minds, guys like Nigel de Grey and William Montgomery, essentially wrestling with this puzzle.
And when they finally crack it, what's the reaction?
Astonishment. Utter astonishment. This wasn't just military chatter. This was a direct German plot involving Mexico against the U.S. homeland, offering up American states as spoils. Just wow.
So they have this political dynamite. But now Admiral Hall has a massive problem, doesn't he? The intelligence dilemma, Tuchman calls it.
Exactly. He can't just hand it over to the Americans.
Why not?
Two big reasons. First, if they reveal it, the Germans instantly know their super secure code 00075 is compromised. They'll change it immediately, and Britain loses its most valuable window into German planning their SIGINT, signals intelligence. A disaster.
Okay, that makes sense. Protect the source. What's the second reason?
Remember America's mood. Fiercely isolationist. Many Americans would likely just assume it was a British trick. A forgery designed specifically to drag them into the war they desperately wanted to avoid. It could easily backfire.
So Hall's stuck. He has the proof that could bring America in, but he can't reveal how he got it. What does he do?
This is where Tuchman argues. Hall's real genius lies. Not just breaking the code, but figuring out how to use the intelligence politically. He comes up with an ingenious cover story.
How?
He learns that a version of the telegram was also sent, less securely, via a different route towards the German embassy in Washington, intended eventually for Mexico City. And crucially, it used an older, previously broken code in that transmission path.
Ah, so he could pretend that's where they got it.
Precisely. He arranges for a copy of that version to be obtained, probably through espionage, perhaps bribery in Mexico. It makes it look like standard spycraft, not code-breaking in London. It protects Room 40 completely.
That is incredibly clever. Strategic deception at its finest.
A masterstroke. It allowed him to give the Americans the telegram without revealing his true source.
And so the stage is set for the revelation in Washington, February 23rd, 1917. The telegram lands on President Wilson's desk.
And Wilson. Remember, he's an idealist. He'd been desperately trying to keep America out of the war, trying to mediate peace. He's just stunned, floored.
Tuchman really emphasizes how this changed everything for him, didn't she?
Absolutely. It transforms the whole nature of the threat. Before, it was about neutral rights, freedom of the seas, submarine warfare. Important issues, yes, but somewhat abstract for many Americans.
Legalistic, almost.
Right. But this. This telegram makes it direct, tangible. A foreign power plotting with a neighbor to invade American soil to seize American states. It makes the threat personal, immediate.
So Wilson verifies it's real, and then he makes a big decision.
Huge. He decides to release it to the press, March 1st, 1917.
And the public reaction.
Instantaneous fury. Just an explosion of outrage across the country. All that strong isolationist feeling, it just gets swamped by this wave of anger at Germany's treachery.
But even then, Tuckman notes, there were still some doubters, right? People saying, this must be a British fake.
There were. And logically, you'd think the Germans' best move at this point would be just to deny everything. Plausible deniability.
But that's not what happened.
No. And this, Tuckman highlights, is maybe the final, most catastrophic blunder in the whole affair. Arthur Zimmermann himself steps up.
The man who wrote the telegram.
The very same. He holds a press conference on March 3rd. And instead of denying it, he admits it.
He confirms he sent it. Why on earth would he do that?
He tried to justify it. He argued it was just a contingency plan, only to be activated if the U.S. declared war first because of the submarine warfare. A defensive measure, he claimed.
But that distinction was totally lost in the outrage, wasn't it?
Completely.
Yeah.
By confirming he sent it, he removed every last shred of doubt. He proved the plot was real. It unified American public opinion like nothing else could.
It gave Wilson the overt act he needed, the clear justification.
Exactly. The mandate was there. The public was demanding action. And just about 6 weeks later, April 2nd, 1917, Wilson goes before Congress and asks for a declaration of war. Tuckman makes the case crystal clear. The telegram was the final straw. The casus belli.
It's such a compelling chain of events, and Tuckman draws out some really powerful themes from it all.
Definitely. The first one is just staring you in the face, hubris and miscalculation.
Mm.
Germany's leadership was just operating in a bubble, weren't they?
Totally. They underestimated British intelligence capabilities. They fundamentally misunderstood American psychology, thinking they could just plot against them without consequence, and they were clueless about the real political situation in Mexico.
It's a timeless lesson, really, for any leader, any organization. Arrogance, detachment from the facts on the ground. It leads to disaster. You have to do your homework. Avoid that confirmation bias.
And the second thing Tuckman really hammers home is the decisive role of intelligence.
Oh, absolutely. This wasn't one on the battlefield initially. It was one in the quiet rooms of Room 40. Decrypting that one message gave the Allies the political weapon they needed.
It literally brought the might of the United States into the war.
Yeah. It shows how critical information, intelligence, SIGINT, how that can be just as powerful, maybe more powerful, than armies or navies. It's the foundation of modern information warfare, really.
Which connects to the third theme, the power of public opinion in a democracy.
Right. Wilson couldn't just declare war on a whim. He needed the public behind him. Abstract arguments about maritime law weren't enough.
But the telegram, that hit differently.
It hit emotionally. It made the war feel personal. Immediate. It wasn't some distant European squabble anymore. Tuckman says it made Americans feel it was their own fight. That's the power of narrative, the power of making a threat feel real.
It really underscores how much leaders, even today, need to understand the emotional current of public opinion, doesn't it? And how crucial communication is.
Absolutely. How you frame things, the story you tell,
yeah,
it matters immensely.
Tuckman had such a way with words, too. Some of the core ideas she presents are just so memorable.
She really did. Like that point about the transmission, I'm paraphrasing here, but the core idea was the German government, in an act of supreme irony, entrusted its most explosive secret to the care of the very nation it was designed to trick and betray.
That just perfectly captures the sheer folly of it, the carelessness.
Exactly. And then her take on Zimmermann's confession. In one of the most monumental blunders in the history of modern diplomacy, Arthur Zimmermann decided to tell the truth. He confirmed everything, and in doing so, sealed his nation's fate with America.
Just handing victory to the other side, diplomatically speaking. A masterclass in bad crisis management.
You could say that. And finally, her central argument, the thesis of the whole book, really.
Mm-hmm.
It was the German proposal to Mexico, not the sinking of ships, that finally swept the country into war. The telegram was the overt act that convinced Americans the war was not a distant European quarrel, but their own fight.
That personalization of the threat, that was the key.
That was the trigger, in her view.
And, you know, thinking about it, these lessons feel surprisingly relevant today, far beyond 1917.
They really do. Think about strategy and risk assessment. Germany's whole plan, the U-boats and the telegram, it was this enormous gamble based on really shaky assumptions about how quickly they could win and how others would react.
It's a warning against that kind of bet the company thinking without rigorous due diligence, right? Challenging your own biases.
Absolutely. And the intelligence angle.
Yeah.
The Siegent lesson. That cat and mouse game between the German code makers and the British code breakers, that's the direct ancestor of today's cybersecurity battles.
Always assume someone is trying to listen in. There's no such thing as a perfectly secure channel forever.
Pretty much. And a determined adversary will keep trying.
Yeah.
And then there's the communication lesson from Zimmerman.
Oh, yeah. The press conference disaster.
His attempted honesty completely backfired because the context was all wrong. It shows how you communicate about a crisis can sometimes be even more damaging than the crisis itself. Timing, framing, it's everything.
So wrapping up, what was the biggest takeaway or surprise for you from revisiting Tuckman's account?
You know, what really struck me again is Tuckman's core argument that American entry into the war wasn't inevitable. We tend to look back and think, oh, it had to happen.
Right, the forces were too strong.
But she insists, no. The Zimmerman telegram was a specific mistake, a contingent event, a human error that acted as the trigger. It really reinforces that idea that history can turn on these small hinges, on individual decisions and blunders.
Yeah, I agree with that. And for me, what always stands out is the brilliance of Admiral Hall in Room 40. It wasn't just that his team broke the code, which was amazing in itself. It was his sophisticated understanding of how and when to use that information, protecting the source, crafting the cover story, timing the release. The dissemination was the real masterstroke.
The strategic application.
Exactly. It teaches you that just having information, having knowledge, isn't enough. Its value comes from understanding it, interpreting it correctly, and deploying it strategically to achieve a goal. Information warfare isn't just about gathering data, it's about winning the political game with it.
Well said. Patience and planning win the day.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.